The Magic Christmas Door by Norman Thomas Marshall. All summer long, old man Tally kept asking me, "Your mama find that baby yet?" He was like all the rest of old people around here, ignorant. "Your mama find that baby yet?" I'd seen animals get born, dogs, cats, calves, everything. Saw them screwing, too. I knew what it took to get born, whether or not you were a dog, a hog, or a citizen of Hanover County, Virginia. Old man Tally must have thought he was talking to some kind of fool from North Carolina. I'd worked for him all that summer. He would have looked like Santa Claus if you'd painted him red and put a beard on his face. He had a pot belly and he wore black rubber boots most of the time and he was 70 years old. I probably would have liked him if he weren't so tight-fisted with his money. He didn't pay me but 25 cents a day, which was less than the colored got. By the end of that summer, I'd saved enough money to buy a flannel shirt and a pair of dungarees to go back to school in. I gave the rest to Mama. I don't know what she did with it. Right after school started up in September 1949, Mama found her baby, a girl. Old man Tally stopped asking. I don't think he cared that much about girls, one way or the other, because they couldn't do as much work as a boy. The shack we lived in got a lot more crowded, and taking care of the baby was a lot of trouble. Everybody had more to do. Mama was all the time hollering at me to get more stove wood to keep the baby warm. Peg, my big sister, did a lot, too, changing them little britches and washing the droppings off of them. Peg was 12 years old, just the right age to start practicing up on minding a young'un. By the time everything settled down and Mama was up on her feet the same as ever, I started seeing the advertisements in the Richmond News Leader about Christmas. Every chance I got, I would go through the News Leader and count how many pictures they had of Santa Claus. I liked the pictures of Christmas trees and reindeers, but it was the pictures of Santa Claus that I really liked. Now, I had not believed in Santa Claus in a couple of years since I had woken up and seen Mama putting raisins in our stockings during the Christmas morning when I was 7. I didn't mind knowing the truth about Santa Claus, and anyway, I had begun wondering how Santa Claus got to everybody's house in one day. It would have been hard enough just getting to all the houses in Hanover County. But Santa Claus always came. Daddy made show of it. The stockings would have oranges and apples and raisins and pecans, and a candy dish full of red, green, and white-striped hard candy. And under the tree, some socks, a shirt, and something like a cap pistol or a slinky. Christmas Eve supper, oyster stew with the little round crackers that taste so good when they soak up the milk. Christmas supper, a stuffed turkey or smoked ham. All year long, Daddy would collect up every piece of copper wire he would come across, and just before Christmas, he would burn the insulation off it and sell it to the Frank H. Knott Junkyard for 19 to 20 cents a pound, and that was how he made sure we had Christmas every year. Nothing was prettier to me more than the green and blue flame coming off the insulation. It told me, Christmas is a-coming and the geese are getting fat. At 7:30 that Christmas Eve morning, Aunt Rudy rode up to our shack in Uncle Harm's car. Well, Uncle Harm was driving. They blew the horn, and Mama went out to ask what they wanted. And Aunt Rudy told Mama to come to her house, and she would pay her $4 to help her get ready for Christmas. And Mama said, yes. She always said, yes, except her own children. I thought to myself that if she spends all day at their house, how is she going to get Christmas for us? Now, Peg went along with her to help take care of the baby Maisie, who by now was 3.5 months old, but she was still messing up her pants. And Aunt Rudy put Peg to work, too, cleaning her house and baking her pies and waxing her floors and decorating her cedar tree and wrapping her presents. Since Peg went there to help Mama take care of Maisie, Aunt Rudy didn't give her any money. I stayed around the shack watching it for Swift and Mousie. I had a list of things to do to get ready for Christmas, to clean the windows and chop and bring in plenty of firewood, fill up the baby's bathwater tub from his spring, go down in the woods and chop down a cedar for a Christmas tree. I tried to get Swift and Mousie to do some of the work, but without Mama or Daddy that'd have beat them, they couldn't be made to do a darn thing. And I could have beat them enough to have got a little work out of them, but Mama and Daddy wanted to do all the beating themselves. About halfway through the day, Miss Bailey pulled up in the lane. Now, Miss Bailey was driving her brand spanking new Hudson Commodore. I was in a Johnny house. She had to blow her horn 2-3 times before I could get out the door. Where's your mama?
Working.
Who's minding y'all chillin'?
Nobody.
Your mama shouldn't leave you little ones all by yourself all day long.
That's all right. She'll be back tonight.
Y'all aren't playing with matches, are you?
No.
Take one of those boxes off the back seat.
Which one?
Well, they're all the same.
I opened up the back door of her car. She was lying. You could see, without even looking, that all the boxes were different. There were as many boxes back there as you could fit in the back seat of a Hudson Commodore. Cardboard boxes for poor folks like us. She was lying, but I didn't say nothing. I knew better than to backstairs rich people. They might have been the same to her because they were boxes for poor people and coloreds. Mostly they had cans of food. Some of them had cornflakes in them, and some didn't. Some had bottles, and some didn't. And I took out the nearest one and slammed the door shut with my knee.
Careful, son. This is a new car. Tell your mama Merry Christmas from Maple Grove Baptist Church.
2 years before, Mama and Daddy had asked her to come in and sit down. She pulled her fur coat up close to her like everything in our house had dog shit on it and said that she had important stuff to do. I felt like throwing that whole box down a toilet hole, but it didn't. It was dark when they all got back home. Daddy got home before Mama and Peg did. Big Nose Billy, his boss, gave him a half a day off, so he got home about 3 o'clock. Mama went straight to bed, gave the baby some Monks, and went to sleep with a diaper still covering up her chest so that us boys couldn't see what it looked like. I kept hoping she would get up, but nothing doing. Peg and me went outside where the younger ones couldn't hear us.
Now, we better wake her up, I said, or there won't be any Santa Claus.
Peg said,
might as well leave her alone. There ain't nothing for Santa Claus. Maisie getting born took up all the Santa Claus money. Mama had to start taking pills way last summer before the baby even thought of getting here.
Presently, Daddy took me and Peg outside on the porch and lit up a Camel. He looked down at the ground for a long time, and then he looked up at the sky.
That goddamn moon is too goddamn bright. Bootleggers ain't got a goddamn chance against Stanley Gordon in this much light.
Daddy didn't know what he was talking about. He was just trying to make us laugh. And he gave that little cough he always gave when he meant for you to pay attention.
Peg, you and Man are big enough to know about Santa Claus. So y'all have to help out making Santa Claus for Swift and Mousy.
There ain't gonna be no Santa Claus for y'all two oldest, but there's a little something for the young ones.
Now this baby Maisie being born took up every cent of money I could find to steal. I sold the copper a long time ago.
Then he pulled his hand out of his breeches pocket and handed a dime to each one of us.
That is the best I can do this year.
Well, Mama woke up and did some moaning. She put some bloody rags into a bucket under her bed, and Daddy started jumping around and yelling at me, "Get in the truck, boy!" And he jumped in and let off a handbrake, and it commenced to roll on down the hill. Now, that truck was Black Lady, a black 37 Ford ton-and-a-half steak body, and it had been drove hard. Daddy beat me to the truck, and it was already rolling by the time I got there, so I jumped up on his running board and got the door open like I was Roy Rogers, saving the stagecoach with runaway horses. And Black Lady started, and Daddy drove as fast as that old rattletrap would go. The lights weren't so bright, and Daddy's eyes were going back on him, so we run in a ditch I don't know how many times. I hope that Luss and Hippa Clark won't layin' drunk by the side of the road the way they did sometimes. If they was, they won't go get killed. Even with all the careless and reckless driving, we made it to town in less than a half an hour. I hadn't been too scared, but still, I was glad to see when we got to Mosby Street, where they had some street lights for Daddy to see by and some red lights to slow that fool down. We finally pulled up in front of People's Drugstore right there at 3rd and Broad, and there ain't no place to park. Daddy stops the truck out in the middle of the street and says to tell a policeman that there's a medical emergency if he wants to take us to jail for parking wrong. Now, I knew all about the door to People's Drugstore. I had been there once or twice with Mama. I should have told Daddy, but I didn't. I forgot. The People's Drugstore had a magic door that opened up when you got close to it. Somebody told me that it won't really magic, but some kind of science. But I always would rather that something be magic instead of science. If I had some magic, I could get some money, and then our family would be all right. Science ain't gonna do doodly squat for nothing and nobody. Well, Daddy jumped out of the truck like something was after him and goes lickety-split across the sidewalk, heading for that door. He's running fast. He's got his good left arm stuck out in front of him like a fullback, stiff-arming somebody, all set to knock open the door. And when the door swung open by itself, he wasn't ready for it. He looked like a 41 DeSoto hood ornament. He never touched the door, never touched nothing until he went a sliding nose first across that floor. I heard the noise from the crash all the way out in the truck. He done some business with a rack of postcards and a candy display. And there he was, teeth, hair, and eyes all mixed up with picture postcards and some gold-colored boxes of candy. Whitman samplers. He had busted open some of the boxes. He looked almost like a Christmas tree sitting there. A woman in a yellow dress with a big flowery handkerchief pinned up next to her bosom kind of played like she was helping him up. Then she got the colored girl to come over and start straightening up what had got busted up. Daddy many times had told me, "You like a bull in a china shop. What you don't break up, you shit on." Only this time it was him and not me. He went on in the back where they sold the serious medicine at. A colored boy came out to help the colored girl. They both had gray hair. They were probably married to each other. Won't too long before Daddy come on back out of People's Drugstore. He had bought a whole bunch of bandage stuff and toilet paper, which I could see in the bag. Now, I got a little worried. Mama must be pretty sick if she needed to use toilet paper instead of old torn-up newspapers like we always used. Many's the time I heard Daddy say that uppity people used toilet paper instead of the news leader just because they were smelling their own water. I don't think Daddy was trying to run down the news leader when he said that. It was rich people he didn't like. The motor was running when he got back in the truck, and I could see he was mad. He set the bag next to him on the seat, and he let the clutch out, and we were headed back to the country. I knew better than to say a word. He was close enough to swell up my lips without ever taking his eyes off the road. Daddy drove fast, like he had his foot pushed slam up into the carburetor, but I wasn't scared anymore. Daddy could solid drive a truck. I started to look through the bag to see what all he got, but he slammed his right arm over it and gave me one of those, I mean business, looks that let me know that he meant business. Mind your own goddamn business, boy. And Daddy was still mad. Those sorry sons of bitches can kiss my goddamn ass for all I care. They made me pay for all that candy I broke up. They wanted to lock my ass up. It was all their goddamn fault. Son of a bitch said I'm drunk. Any sorry bastard who has on his work clothes, that them sorry sons of bitches are going to say you was drunk, and then they take all your goddamn money. I didn't tell them to put that goddamn door that opens up by itself. And that was all he had to say about People's Drugstore. Well, Daddy shut off Black Lady in front of the shack, with her nose pointing down the hill and all ready for the next startup. He ran in the house with a bag and went to see Mama. She was still asleep, but he woke her up and they talked quiet for a while. Swift and Mercy were asleep, or at least playing like it, thinking that they would make Santa Claus come. Me and Peg went on back outside, not a bit cold. The moon had come up, and it was almost as bright as day. When I was littler, I might have tried to imagine Santa Claus and his deer flying right in front of the moon, like I saw in that book the night before Christmas at school. I still love to read that poem, Santa Claus and All. Peg said, "Well, at least we got a dime." Well, she was right, and I told her so, but I didn't like the thought of there being nothing in the stocking. I'd already hung it up near the stove. Now, we always hung up our stocking by the stove, because the stove was near the chimney, which was just about the closest thing we had to a fireplace. Well, I hoped that Odie would show up. Usually, Odie Wheat would come by on Christmas Eve. We call Odie our cousin, but he's really not. He's just married to Shirley, who really is my cousin. He's the only one in Hanover County who treats us with any respect. He will come in and sit down in a chair in our shack and talk to Daddy or Mama like they're real people. Nobody else does that. Not our kin people, and not the church people, and not the teachers at school. When they're talking to you, they always manage to let you know that they are talking to white trash. But he didn't come on the Christmas Eve of 1949. On Christmas morning, I didn't feel like getting up, knowing what I knew. Swift and Mousie were going through their stockings and squeaking about this and that and the other thing that they would find. Oh, a yo-yo! Oh, a tangerine! Crayolas! An almond! Give me that! That's mine! It didn't make me feel any better that they were having a good time. I was sorry I felt that way. I figured I needed to go to church more. Well, from the smell, I could tell that Mama was scrambling up some eggs with canned fish roe in them. I saw the fish roe in the box that Miss Bailey had brought. I knew better to lay there too long. If I wasn't at the breakfast table, them two little snot noses would eat up my share when Mama wasn't looking. So I drew on some breeches and headed on in to the other room. Nobody paid me any attention. Mama was standing by the cook stove getting breakfast ready. She didn't look too sick to me, but she did have a roll of that toilet paper sitting there on the oven, and I don't know what she planned to do with it. Peg was reading some movie star magazine, and I couldn't think of nothing better to do than to look over her shoulder. Oh, she kept on reading like she always did when she was reading movie star magazines. But she said real low to me, "Look in your stocking." I expected that stocking to be hanging like a rag on a clothesline, but it was full of something all bulging out. Now, I didn't want to act like I wasn't used to nothing, so I walked slow on over to it. It was full of Whitman samplers. The boxes of candy that Daddy had to buy when he busted them up, diving headfirst into People's Drugstore. They were all loose, and some of them were a little melty from being near the stove. Well, there was enough chocolate candy in my stocking to make a real Christmas. I started to feel what Mama always calls the Christmas feeling. Well, Santa Claus didn't come down the chimney that Christmas in Hanover County in 1949, but he came through the magic door at People's Drugstore.